Welcome back to the Trees and Nylon podcast. I'm your host, Trees and Nylon. You can call me Trees. And I'm joined today by the Baron of the Handmade Bag and the Pharaoh of the Features of the Skate Park. It is Dan Gee. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Bro, that's no worries, but I'm going to have to correct you straight away. It's G.
G?
Yeah.
It is Dan Gee. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
And that's fine, because funnily enough, I've been plagued with that a lot of my younger years in life.
Yeah.
And it's become a bit of a trigger, but that's fine.
Well, thank you for correcting me on that.
No worries. Well,
Dan G, how are you today, my man?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, no complaints, bro. It's a new year.
New year, yeah. This is the first pod that I'm recording in the new year.
Oh, well, I'm honored,
number one.
Yeah. I'm honored.
Well, I'm honored to have you on here.
Thank you, man.
And for anyone who might not know who you are, how would you describe you and what you do in this whole fashion scene?
I don't really think I'm anyone, to be honest.
Very humble.
I mean, not yet, I guess, which is
there you go,
one of those things, I guess. But I make things, mostly bags at the moment, which I'm predominantly known for. Only been doing it about 3 years, I think, now. Comes up to 3 years in this March, actually. I started back in around 2021, around when we had one of our lockdowns, and then just learned how to sew via YouTube. And then it's just snowballed from there, really, just creating as much as I can, learning more about sewing and pattern cutting, and here we are, I guess.
Wonderful stuff. Well, this is the Trees and Nylon podcast, where you and I are going to be talking about trees, you know, outdoors, hiking, anything really, skating that counts as outdoors, and then also nylon as well, which is the fashion side of things. Going through, you know, past, present, future with both of those. So you tell me where you want to start, trees or nylon?
Let's go trees, bro.
Let's go trees. Awesome. So tell me, growing up, what sort of outdoor activities were you into?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said skateboarding. I grew up in a coastal part of England in a place called Kent, which is sort of the county below London, as you get more towards France. And I grew up in a place called Canterbury, which is sort of a quaint little, like, quite a historical town, I guess you'd say. It's got like a cathedral is its biggest asset. I grew up there, but then the coast is a 10-minute drive away. So always on the beach when I was younger, be that drinking or skateboarding or going in the sea, I guess. So predominantly, as you said, man, skating was probably the biggest thing in my life before sewing, like hobby wise. So from the age of maybe, and did I start like 10 years old, maybe 11 years old, all the way up until a few years ago, that's what I spent pretty much doing week in, week out, to be honest with you.
Wow. I have a question about, you said you grew up by the coast. Is there like a big surfing scene in the UK? Because, you know, I don't hear about it, but it might be there.
There definitely is in Kent. There are certain pockets of the coast around Kent, near where I am. A place called Margate has quite a big surfing scene, because I guess have you been to the coast when you come to the UK?
I've seen it, but I didn't go to the beach or anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably used to lots of beaches over there, but we have predominantly like rocky beaches.
Yeah.
But then there's certain places in Kent that do have sand. So I think they're more geared towards the surfers, and maybe the surf is better at some places. I don't really know. I don't know a lot about surfing. I've tried it once. I fell off. I was done. And I hate water. So.
Oh, you hate water. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a deep water phobia, or like fear.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. So I never really got into surfing, let alone really swim, to be honest with you, like more than up to my neckline.
Yeah,
that would do for me.
Yeah, of course. You'd prefer to stay on the land, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got you. Cool. Skating your whole life until, I mean, you still do skate, or you kind of have dropped it?
I mean, I guess I could like see it becoming less and less a part of my life as I got way more into sewing. I remember when I first started it the first year, I was like, oh, I can do both. And then it grew 6 months later and I was like, oh, I found myself not going out of my friends skating as much and then staying in sewing. And then, you know, as the years have progressed, it's become pretty much a very rare occasion that I go out skating. I mean, I did it a few times in the past summer, maybe with a few friends, but you know, as people get older and like my friends as well, just like are onto doing other things too. So it's probably like a once every 3 months activity for me at the moment, which isn't great, but I do see myself this year definitely jumping back into it, man, just because, as you said, it's the prime outdoors activity for me. So there always needs to be more of that.
And with you kind of at least being adjacent to the whole Gorpcore scene, do you feel like you'd be more open to, or have you ever gone out camping or hiking or anything like that? Or is that not your vibe?
I wouldn't say I'm that much of a hiker at all, to be honest with you. Camping, I mean, as with a lot of like young kids from the UK, their camping experience, or mine is anyway, outside of a large city.
Yeah.
My first camping experience is getting tents and going to get drunk with your friends in a wood. Where in Kent.
Yeah.
And you camp, you get a tent, you know, you start a fire. So it definitely counts. It's in the realm.
Yeah. It counts.
But you know, you just be getting paralytic with your friends. So that was like the very first foray into camping, I guess. I don't think I've ever really gone on any out and out camping trips other than like, I guess, you know, first camp where we met a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was probably in my later adult life, the only times that I've been camping, or festivals as well. I do a lot of music festivals, so I'm always camping there, I guess, which counts definitely. I at least do it a few times a year in the summer for sure. Camping, yeah, anyway,
sleep on the ground a couple times a year.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A couple times a year. But hiking, not at all, man. Like not really. Not that I'm not into it, but now I live in London. It's just like there's no mountains, is there? Except,
yeah, hard to get out.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Yeah, well, that's okay. Moving on to the future of this now, would you like to? Do you think this is something you'd enjoy doing? Do you have a plan or a dream from the future?
No, yeah, of course, man. I mean, it's important to be more at one with nature, I think.
Of course, yes.
As I've learned, you know, it just makes you happier, especially when you live in a city and even when I go back home, to the seaside.
Yeah.
2 days of being on the beach, you know, fresh air, little dip in the ocean, you feel infinitely better. And I think it helps with my mental health, especially being outside.
Yeah.
So anytime that, yeah, I can not be at the sewing machine, I think is better. So whether that is skateboarding or definitely like going hiking and taking walks like that, yeah, I'm definitely be more open to it, man, for sure.
What are some places they can be, you know, domestic or international that you think would be like cool for you to go on like a little jaunt?
A little jaunt. Well,
yeah, it doesn't have to be a full, you don't have to climb a mountain or anything, but
no, I mean, but I've always wanted to climb Mount Fuji.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
A week long trip, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I've got to get to Japan, but I've watched a lot of vlogs and videos just around about Japan, I guess. And I was a few years ago before I moved to London, I applied to do this ski season in Niseko, which I think is in whatever the snowy region of Japan is. But unfortunately, I got turned down. I didn't cut it, apparently. Wasn't knowledgeable enough. So when I was researching that, I was watching so many videos about Japan, and Mount Fuji always seemed to crop up. So that in the future is definitely the top mountain for me, I'd say. Maybe. Beautiful. I can't really think of anything else closer to home, but that's the one I think I'd love to do mountain wise.
Nice, man. Well, that's a good aspiration to have, because then you're also in Japan and you can do some other cool stuff there too.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah,
two for one.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Shopping and
food. I don't know if you travel by food, but that's like my mom did, and it might be just like I know some people that don't care. I know some people that are like, I'm cool with a peanut butter jelly sandwich every day as long as I'm in like a cool place.
Yeah.
But I feel like a majority of people travel by their stomachs. That's what my mom said. My fiance is the same way. It's like,
Yeah.
For no, me, that's most important.
Yeah, me too, man. It's funny you say that. One of my housemates has just gone to Japan this New Year's, and he's a vegan.
Oh.
And you know what their diet is like out there. It's very meat heavy, fish heavy.
Yeah, lots of fish, so, yeah.
And I wonder how he survives on probably just rice and eggs, but...
Yeah, I think that vegan's probably way harder. I know that vegetarian is probably easier. You could probably get like... Because if you think about it, I mean, I don't know. When I was over there, it was a lot of, like, you could get meat with every meal, but a lot of Asian people just eat, like rice and vegetable for lunch. And, like, maybe once a day they'll have, like, a piece of meat, and that's, like, dinner or that's breakfast or whatever. But it's not necessarily every meal, a lot less than it is in America.
Yeah, for sure.
But a lot of their broths or soups or whatever, the accoutrements are made with meat. So it might be harder. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. That's not a problem I had to deal with. Luckily,
yeah. I know. Yeah, I'm curious to speak to him when he comes back in next week. So we'll see.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know Saeed from Story MFG.
Oh yeah,
he's vegan as well. And so I know he loves Japan, but I think that was another gripe he had was that there's a lot of meat just kind of everywhere, or like animal product.
Yeah,
it's like eggs are a big deal in Japan, and I don't think eggs are vegan.
They really are, aren't they? Oh yeah, I forgot eggs isn't bloody vegan.
eggs don't come from plants.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, I mean, I've never tried it myself personally, but
I don't know.
I think
if I'm gonna be on a side, I would probably have to side with the like vegetarians being better for you than those like new age weird. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm gonna come for it anyway. Like carnivore people. Have you seen these guys?
Oh, of course, man. Yeah. Do you remember that guy that's very viral on Instagram with the
Liver King, of course.
I saw him, he ran past me in the street over summer.
Really?
With his top off and his whole camera crew.
Of course, yeah.
And he just disappeared into a hotel or something. But I was like, I thought I was
like, how tall was he? Was he like 4 foot five? That's what I imagine him.
Too short, but just like this pulsating, like red lump of flesh. Like,
yeah.
And now I think it got found out he was just pumping steroids, wasn't he? So
Well, I think it was like, everyone that had a brain was like, yeah, he's just full of steroids. Like, there's no way at his age he can be as lean and as like vascular as he is. And then some guy that's like a bodybuilder on YouTube looked through and he saw an email that he had gotten from his team of like, hey, you know, could you recommend like steroids? Like, he's on this dose and it's not working. Like, he had so many receipts and he just kind of exposed him. So Liver King made a video saying, yes, I took steroids, I'm sorry, but I'm going steroid free starting today. And he couldn't even make it a year. He's already back on the steroids again.
He probably needs it. Surely your body becomes dependent on that stuff.
Yeah. And it's just like, he obviously has become obsessed with looking a certain way, and the way he looks is just completely unattainable naturally. So I would assume that, you know, 270 days in, he's like, I am not as strong as I was. I need to get back on the roids because I want to look a certain way.
I am the literal opposite of Liver King. I'm a skinny I'm all zero muscle, just brain power, I guess.
Sorry, my dog was barking at my roommates. I think if he had just like been upfront about it from the beginning, that's a totally different story, but it was his lying is what really got him.
Yeah.
That's crazy you saw him though. I know did like a world tour where he was like going over and
That's exactly where I saw it. What a weird one. What a weirdo.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, the carnivore thing. Yeah. There's people like him there's the people who are like, oh yeah, seed oils will kill you. You need to get rid of all your, those kind of guys who just, it's a bunch of people who are making money from other companies that are like promoting like, oh, buy this like beef tallow instead of seed oil. Right.
Mm.
And then they will get money from them, and then they'll tell all of their fans like, hey, canola oil is bad for you. Mm. And then all their fans who are not getting paid are like, this is the devil. And so it's a whole cycle. But they're, in my opinion, the carnivores are the new vegans, because they're just in your face. They won't shut up about their diet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's just not great. It's not great. The carnivores are what we thought vegans were in like 2010. We're like, oh, vegans won't shut up about their diet. But they're actually the chill ones.
Exactly. Right. Just eat what you like, man. Just keep
eat
it
what
yourself.
You like. Stay healthy. Yeah. Get your vegetables and your fruits in there.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. Just
do what you got to do to survive.
Yeah, and my big thing is like, just don't be a weirdo about it. You know.
Yeah, man. 100%, man.
Just don't be a weirdo.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Yeah. How does this all start? Being carnivore.
I think it stemmed from Japan, didn't it?
Yeah, it must have.
Japan was the place I wanted to go because of a mountain or height.
That's right. Very good. Yeah, he's got all brain power. It's all the brain.
That's something like that.
Cool. Well, is there anything else on your bucket list, or would you like to move on to the nylon section?
Bucket list. I mean, more travel all in all is always good, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like most parts of Europe I've ventured into, but not too much outside of that. So yeah, more travel this year for sure when I can. Yeah, I'd say that's it really, man.
Okay. So yeah, nylon then. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. Let's talk about it.
Let's
talk about your fashion growing up. What were you into?
Oh God. What was I into? Well, skateboarding obviously shaped the way that I dressed. But obviously that changed from, you know, when I was maybe, I remember being 10, and I remember dragging my mum to, like, you guys have Topshop, Top Man over there, right? Topshop?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Familiar, yeah. So like a high street situation and just like being into sort of like weird things from there and like really tight pants. But I'd always used to skate in a, do you remember the K-Swiss with like the
yeah
little things that you could press up and down on the sides, like the movable swooshes?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to skate those a lot. I don't know why. I think you could get them pretty cheap at the time. So I used to like be super into those. And then like that just bled into, you know, like classic Vans and like different skate brands like that. So then into school and stuff, like into secondary school, it obviously everyone obsessed with Supreme and shit like that. Diamond Supply was a big one I was into when I was, you know, in like year 10, 11. So like maybe 15, Love Supply for some reason. And your Supremes and stuff like that. And even Palace was coming out at that time. And like, we cottoned on, as you know, our group of skaters for Palace for what it was back then, which was just a board brand. And it's not the, you know, the streetwear giant that we know today. So we used to go up to London, go to Slam City Skates was the place to go and buy it, and just go and buy the boards. And then, you know, you started to see the t-shirts and all the classic like trifergs and shit. I'm pretty sure I've still got some at my mum's house somewhere. And then, yeah, very like heavy skater fashion, man, into my mid 20s as well. Just like, all my skater shit, really, bro. Baggy pants, you know, yeah. Vans, a lot of Converse as well. Nike SB was really coming into its own as well across the earlier years, like the Janoskis. That was such a important shoe for me when I was younger, because it was one of my favorite guys who then got a shoe deal. And it was quite a weird shoe at the time because it didn't look like any skate shoe we'd ever seen at the time. Quite innovative, I think, as well. And like the use of fabrics on the shoe was really cool. Mm-hmm. And even the laces as well. And obviously now it's, you know, it's seen everywhere, but that was mostly it, man. When I was growing up, my style has definitely changed now into my later 20s. A bit more like techie and stuff, I guess, in terms of like fabric choice and different, slightly different brands, but it all stemmed from skating, bro.
Yeah. As all things do, skating is like truly the origin of all streetwear, you know. It all comes from skate culture, honestly.
I know it does, but then like certain things annoy me, like skaters are so I don't know, they have such a big ego, because I hear like, yeah, and I used to say it as well, be like, yeah, all these like fashion kids, everything comes from us. And it's like, not everything, bro, come on, like, you're just just trying to learn a kickflip, chill out. So yeah, there are positives and negatives to that, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just a fact. Most of the popular things that are popular today can be traced back to skate culture in some regard.
Yeah, true. I hear it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we have to like all the people that wore it.
No, it doesn't, does it? It doesn't.
No. Shoot, you said something I was going to go off of.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. You said the brands and stuff changed over time.
Yeah.
What kind of brands are you wearing now? Like, what's on the rotation?
Now, so my favorites at the moment are Affix Works, which is, I don't really know too much like actually about the brand, which is bad. I know that there used to be a radio station, I think, in London that might have been on like NTS or something. Mm. And I think it sort of transformed into this brand. And I don't even know the dudes behind it. I know it's located in North London, but it's just like very technical, everything really, like just really cool technical fabrics, crazy silhouettes and stuff. I just really love the pants mainly. Pants are just incredible.
What was the name? And luckily,
Affix Works. So
Yeah. I have the Affix Asics.
Yes.
Yeah, I have that collab, the brown pair that they made.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah, that's a lot of the pants that I'm wearing at the moment. I got super into Cavempt, which is like UK Japanese.
Yeah.
Like
the Cavempt.
Yeah, the last 2 years I got really into that because my ex-girlfriend really just was wearing it and I was like, fucking hell, I'm going to steal your clothes. Hit her with the universe card and just started stealing her bits. And now, yeah, I've just started buying it. So it's good. So probably them two mainly at the moment. I mean, I admire brands that I can't afford pretty much, you know, like Yukikos, stuff like that. Like I could admire these clothes and like old vintage Comme des Garçons and shit that I just have like tabs open of stuff on eBay. But it's like, oh, am I really going to spend like $3-4 on a, you know, fucking pair of pants or whatever it may be. So yeah. I like to admire from afar. To be honest with you, all the stuff I wear is quite simple and basic, no logos, just cool cuts, cool fabrics, and let that speak for itself, really. Because I think being a skater when I was young and loving all those aforementioned brands, it was very logo heavy and quite different. So I think my stuff is way more refined now in terms of, you know, logo heavy shit. It's just like nice fabrics, nice cuts, and that'll do it for me, really, man.
Nice, dude. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably going to be more of a vibe also going into whatever is happening with the Gorpcore fashion in general is, I mean, logo mania has been on the outs for a while, but a lot of companies have still been doing it. But
yeah,
I think big logos are dead. It's all about silhouette. It's all about fabric. I think that's in.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. I think mainstream, I think that's in. I don't think logos are in anymore.
No, you don't really see a lot of big logos anymore, man. And I think, yeah, that's what I want to wear. Just really stuff with really interesting cuts and fabrics.
Right.
And that'll do it for me, really. Yeah.
And I'm sure as someone who also is like in the industry of making clothing, you care a lot more about, like you can see a lot more than even I can, you know, about
how
it's made and all that.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. I've only just started in the last 6 months really delving into clothes, which has been really tricky, but quite rewarding, I guess. Cause you know, once you learn how to make a pair of pants or a jacket, you're like, wow, okay, there's possibilities. I've just been working on like a way smaller scale with what a bag is.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as much surface area. And with bags, there is a little bit of a fit element to it. Obviously, it's got to sit right on your back or your side. But when you then learn to how to make a pair of pants, it's like, wow, okay, there's so much more that makes it fit nicely.
Yeah.
Body's different and it's all about your proportions and stuff. So yeah, it's super interesting, I guess, as you said, then looking at something that's been made and thinking, okay, shit, how have they done that? And you sort of like reverse engineer it in your head. To sort of see how they did it.
Have you seen that meme where the guy's like, do you have any hobbies? And then the interviewer goes, I like to break things down to their finer parts. I'll send that to you. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
Okay, I'm gonna send that to you. It's not what you described to me, but it is. You're not a meme.
In all honesty, I want to be friends with that guy.
He looks great. I would love to talk to that kid.
Get him on the pod.
Yeah, let's get Elijah on the pod.
Get Elijah on the pod.
Yeah. Break that quote breaks something down to its finest parts. It builds something anew. I don't know. Just what you're saying.
Yeah. He says so little, but so much.
Yeah, he's truly got away with words.
Yeah, I respect that guy. Hold tight if you're listening.
Big shout out. Yeah, Elijah's a big fan.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Anyway, my next question for you is going to be, what was the first thing that you ever made once you got into sewing?
The very first thing.
Very first.
It was like, it was so shit. I still have it as well somewhere. It was like, yeah, it was a pillowcase that I turned into a tote bag.
Okay.
So simple. And looking back at it, I just cut a pillowcase, you know, into two rectangles and then fused them back together and then like hemmed the top off. When really you look back at it now and I should have just like cut one of the ends off and then just secured the top so I wouldn't have to do the stitch around the bottom. But I think I was so excited to stitch straight lines at the time because I'd just been practicing, you know, on a ship.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, now is the time to really go at it and fuse two things together. And it was amazing, man. So bad, but where it starts, isn't it?
That's where it starts. Yeah. I mean, you made your very first thing that you could ever be like, yeah, this is it right here. Like pillowcase tote bag.
Yeah. And I think at that time as well, like, I think because I was in lockdown, and I think it had been a few months. So I was probably going a little bit insane. And so having something to learn was so important. So I think
absolutely
all that time just really made the hobby just accelerate and blossom super quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this is a philosophy I just have had for a while, that if you're not like working in a trade, then having something that you can work with your hands with and make something as like a, you know, a hobby, if it's woodworking or gardening or, you know, whatever it may be, I think that's so important just as a human to live for longer. You just stimulate your brain more, your thinking, you're moving, you know, all that.
Yeah, you're so right, man. Like, I look at my grandparents at the moment after going back for the holidays and like the two on my mum's side, one of them, bless her soul, she passed away recently, but her dad, he has activities. He's 90, but he still gets around because he has things to do. And like my dad's two parents as well, they're very active. They just play golf all the time. But because they're stimulated, you know, their mind isn't dying as quick as maybe someone else does, and their body is being active. So you're so right. Like, you like see it in them at their age for sure.
It's very true. Where there's something called the Blue Zone, where it's like five different places across the world where people live the longest, and the unifying thing between these places are a sense of community. The people are active and they eat more vegetables and grains than the other places of the world. So the two big things that I would take away from that obviously are community and things to do.
Because
like my grandpa, he was 95. He passed away 2 years ago, but he was 95 and he was going to the YMCA every day and walking on the treadmill and talking to people and going to like little community parties and stuff. And like, he was very active in his community and also was active like at the gym, even if he wasn't doing a lot. And I think like that kept him going for so long, you know?
Oh, so long, man. I mean, with older people, especially, like, they might get quite isolated, which I guess, as you just said, the community thing is so important.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's sad to think about, really, which is why you need to just like help your family and your older generation where you can.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, I mean, you're a good man.
Speaking of that, my nan used to sew when she was younger. I went around her house last year, and obviously she knows that I make stuff. Yeah. She doesn't really know to what extent, I guess, but. She had gotten her sewing machine out for when I arrived. And so then I gave her like a how to make a bag tutorial. I cut up one of her old, I went into her closet with her and I was like, which jacket can we cut up? And she had a few sort of like golfing, windbreakers, knocking around. Yeah, and we cut up one of her jackets and I made it into a handbag for her, which is really nice. Yeah. So kept her sewing, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Kept her sewing. You had some quality time.
Exactly. That's
all
what's
good
important.
Things. All good things.
Exactly.
That's wonderful stuff. Where were we? As far as the format goes, well, you talked about what you're into these days, some like brands you're wearing, your general style.
Yeah.
What are some things for the future that you want to make?
But I want to make.
You don't have to give too much away. Future.
No,
drops,
no.
But
I mean, the things that I'm working on at the moment, I'm working on at the moment. Like, I guess my first, I'm going to say official release, only because I'm having a website made and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've only ever sold through Instagram DMs, which I'm way too stressful now. it's just not the right way to do it at all. I don't recommend that to anyone. Because it's just so many people and you get mixed up with stuff if you're a bit unorganized sometimes like me. So yeah, I'm now getting a, you know, website built that I can just upload onto regularly as and when. And so hopefully by the end of this month, the product should be ready, which is just two bags. So a smaller one and a larger one, essentially, like a day bag and a bigger bag. For all your bits and pieces. So that's going to be my first official product launch, I guess, at the start of the year, which is quite exciting. Really stoked on the fabric I've got. It's really cool. The designs are quite minimal, but again, just easy to wear, cool fabric, just like I said to you before.
Yeah.
In quite interesting silhouettes. So trying to like keep that ethos of, you know, nice and easy to wear and style for people, because that's what people like. But looking quite interesting at the same time. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. In the future, definitely clothes are on the cards. I've been testing jackets and pants and shorts over the last few months, just seeing where it goes. So I definitely am doing shorts for summer. That's something I know that I'm doing, which I've been working on, which is really cool. Keeping on with the accessories as well, man. I think done so many bags and I know that at one point I'm going to get bored of it, but we're still going and it's fun. So
yeah,
I'll always bring out different accessories, which will be cool. Maybe wallets and stuff like that in the future, but yeah, definitely, carrying on with the bags, man. You know, it's all I know. It's all I've got
for now. You're learning now. More things. You're learning more things, but the bags are paying the bills.
Yeah.
At least. Partially.
Hopefully.
Nice, dude. Well, hey, that's the dream, you know, turn the hobby into the career.
Yeah, well, I'm about to sort of take a bigger step into that after this month. I'm about to give it a few months of all my time, essentially.
Yeah.
I've got myself in a position to be able to do that, which I'm super thankful for. So
yeah.
I'm going to give it my full attention hopefully till the middle of the year, see where it goes for like 6 months, and you know, let's hope it continues, to be honest.
Absolutely.
I've got to sort of put all my time into it, which I realized the back end of last year, so I'm just going to do it essentially, and fingers crossed.
I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you, bro.
Another question I have, were you just like partnered with Greater Goods, or were you like an employee for them, or what was the deal with that situation?
So I started sewing 2021. I did it for a year and then it got to a point where I'm going off on a bit in a tangent, but I got to a point where you learn on YouTube and there are so many little different genres of YouTube learning for sewers on there. Like, they're really weird little pockets that you can get into, because there's either like old grandma sewing YouTube, where it's like some old lady, God bless her, they're great at sewing, but it's not engaging and it's really slow, and they're teaching you how to make, I don't know, like a tea cozy or like makeup bag or something like that.
Yeah.
So you learn certain things from them, or then you have this other little pocket, which is like hyper masculine army guy that is like is how I make a bag for my gun. And then they're just like, whoa, dude, chill out. Okay, we get it. You're a man and you sew. Yeah. And you can take certain things from that as well. So there's like these two little things that you bounce to and fro from. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I need real life experience on how to make things in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one day I'd follow Greater Goods for a while as soon as I got into sewing. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to bombard Jameis with DMs and emails.
Yeah.
And I sent him a few DMs, no reply. And then I was like, oh no, I found his email address on his website. So I was like, oh, I'll email. And so I emailed him and he got back to me straight away, to be fair. And I was like, are you looking for an intern? And I don't think he was, because I think he was a bit of a smaller situation than he is now. Like,
yeah,
business has grown so much in the last few years. It's so cool to see. Like,
it is. I
actually love that man so much and respect him. He's one of the greats. But
the hustle's crazy with Jameis. The hustle's crazy.
Hustle's mental. And so I went into a studio and he was like, yeah, bring some work in. And I brought some of my bags in and he was like, yeah, this is cool. If you want to come in and intern essentially for a few days a week. And then I did it for the rest of that year, pretty much, I think. And then got to a place where, he needed to expand. And so, yeah, he kept on expanding, man. But I was super thankful for him just to take me under his wing, essentially. And I think he sort of let me in because he was explaining to me when I met him that he was the same. He learned sewing through YouTube. So I think that he understood where I was coming from. And, you know, I learned so much off him about everything really in that world, not only just sewing, but, you know, watching him deal with bigger brands and his relationships with other brands and stuff, and sitting in on meetings and meeting loads of cool designers and stuff through him, like super eye-opening when I was only just starting in that world. And I still am in a certain sense, but yeah, that dude's amazing, man. And he still has me do the workshops, man, which you've been to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We do for first camp, and we had loads the year just gone. We did a few with Arc'teryx, some really cool ones with Nike as well, which they're always fun, man. You just, when you have a really cool group of people and we're teaching, you know, random kids how to sew and make stuff out of waste, there's nothing better really, man. It's like a nice little community. So that's how it's sort of is, man, on and off for him, working at the workshops.
Beautiful. Yeah. Because I was wondering, because I remember seeing you at first camp, and I was just wondering if you were like an employee or a contract or whatever it may be.
Nah, man. I mean, we just help up with the workshops now, man.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah. I got you. Wonderful. For the future, I don't know.
For the future,
what else do you want to do for the future for your brand?
Well, I want to live off it, essentially. Mm-hmm. Which is why I said about I'm taking the next step to give it my full time. So, you know, more time will hopefully mean, you know, I can actually achieve that. And I've like set out a nice little 6-month plan to achieve that. So that's my goal for the foreseeable, I guess. Just way more creating, a lot more sewing, and just making it more of a business, I guess, which is a challenge in itself, you know, taking it from hobby to business. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I think definitely needs to happen, as now it's just what I want to do. So
yeah,
there's no time like the present, really, is there?
Exactly. No time like the present. And hey, I mean, I respect the hustle for anyone who's trying to make their passion, their job, their career, you know, it's always respectable.
Yeah, Ben. For sure. And I feel like now I've got a good network of people in in similar industries. Like I can just ask people for help and questions and stuff like that. So I've got a cool like circle of people that I can always look to for advice, which is super helpful, because I didn't really have that when I started. But you know, when you do these new things, and even, you know, you take on new opportunities and stuff, you meet so many cool people, man. Especially, you know, fashion was always, I used to look at it from the outside and or you hear things, don't you? Like, it's a bit of a weird industry, and a bit cliquey maybe, but from the people I've met, they're all sound. So I've not come across that at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think I experienced the exact same thing, especially when I was starting out, that everyone just very willing to talk and chat and very down to earth, you know, very humble people.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely. I think that's all I got for you. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I got anything else. Oh, you have any great questions for me? You don't have to. I just always ask. Yeah,
what did you eat today?
What did I eat today?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I haven't eaten anything today.
And it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, actually, I ordered a sandwich before we started the pod, so this probably showed up at my house.
What state are you in again?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Down south.
Damn. I love that. Brother.
Yeah, with Atlanta. Yeah, what have you eaten today? What would you have?
I've had some good ones today, actually. What did I have? I had 2 pan au chocolat for breakfast. You know, can't complain with that. A little chocolate pastry. And then...
Wonderful.
I had a white baguette with chicken breast chorizo, extra mature cheddar cheese and avocado and loads of this... I really like hot sauce, though. It's like this... I think it's called like Valentina. Like classic, like Mexican situation hot sauce. Chips. And that's just the go-to. I love sandwiches. I'm a big sandwich guy.
Oh, yeah, me too. Big sandwich guy.
Yeah.
What's my favorite sandwich? Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah. Or like maybe top three, because I know that there's a lot of sandwiches out there.
There's a lot of sandwiches. Top three. Even that's hard.
Okay, go-to.
My go-to... for like eating now would probably be, I get this place called Jimmy John's. It's just like delivery stuff.
Oh, but I've heard of that through the ether.
Yeah. Yeah. the sandwich network. Yeah. And they do an Italian. That's good. And I do it right now. I'm doing Unwich. So I'm doing it with lettuce instead of bread. And what I found, it's a bit sacrilegious. I know. What I found is that the Italian sub is like so heavy because it's got all the meat that having that crunch of the lettuce instead of like the bread actually allows me to eat it more. It's like more satisfying for me, I feel.
Okay. I can understand that. I don't agree with it.
Thank you. Thank you for being understanding. But maybe besides that, maybe for like a heavier sandwich, you know, I don't know if I'd do it for anything else, but for that. And then I really love a barbecue pork sandwich with tomato and coleslaw on top. It's another divisive one, but it's a very you know southern thing here in the U.S.
Yeah,
but I had it once, and in the summer, with that, with like a Coke or some lemonade, oof, so good.
Yeah, that does sound.
Nice. What's going for you?
My top sandwich is. Are you familiar with the Vietnamese banh mi?
Oh yeah.
See that for me? That
great.
Yeah, that with I could do any meat. I could do roast chicken. I could do barbecue pork. But there's a spot just around the corner from me at work that just hits it out of the park every time. That's a classic. I can never go past a bacon and egg sandwich.
Ooh.
Just like classic breakfast sandwich. I love that. Yeah.
What kind of bread? What's your favorite type of bread for these sandwiches?
So the banh mi is always that French.
Besides the banh mi. Because the culture people know what the banh mi is on, right? You can keep going. For the bacon, egg, and cheese, what are you rocking with?
Oh, like shit white bread.
Okay.
None of this fancy stuff. No sourdough. No frills, just really cheap, shitty white bread. It's just the best thing for it in my eyes.
Absolutely.
Because it's just what I used to eat when I was younger at my nan's house. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like no frills really. Ketchup, maybe brown sauce, maybe a bit of English mustard.
Okay.
What other sandwich? I do have a third one as well, but it's really eluding me. So maybe it's not even that good. But then does it cut? Sorry to go off on sandwiches, but is a fajita a sandwich?
Like a taco or anything like that?
Yeah, a sandwich?
Nah. See, for me, I do sandwiches, 2 pieces of bread. If there's a bread on top and bread on the bottom that aren't connected, I would consider that a sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understandable. Yeah. I concur.
Cool. Very good. I'm glad we could have that talk. That was very vulnerable of you to talk about sandwiches with me.
When are we doing the sandwich podcast? That's what I want to know.
Hey, dude, you want to come back on? We can talk about sandwiches for an hour and a half.
It's called like cheese and something.
Ooh, cheese and nylon. Yeah, no, we can workshop it, but there's something there for sure.
There's definitely something there. International sandwich game.
The international sandwich game, yeah. Yeah. We can travel show.
Oh, that would probably be one of my favorite jobs, man. Imagine travel show, just strictly sandwiches.
Only sandwiches. Best sandwiches across the world.
Yeah, I follow a guy on TikTok that does that, but I mean, he just makes them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
a sandwich. I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. What a guy.
You got the butter guy as well, you see him?
Yeah, well, the guy from he's caught a bit of flack recently, hasn't he?
What'd he do?
Because he hired, someone reported on them that he hired all white staff at his restaurant that was in a...
Oh, yeah. He made a restaurant and it was like all white
neighborhood.
Yeah.
So he caught a bit of bullshit for that. But other than that, yeah, I guess he makes cracking butter. Can't really complain. He's got a restaurant here somewhere, though. I don't know where it is, but
you can't go to it. You can't be seen in it.
I'll be seen in that. I'll make my own butter, you know?
Yeah, go to the restaurant, look at the menu, and then make it at home. And make your own YouTube video about... this is all things, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Oh God.
Well, anyway, you have any more questions for me?
Any more questions?
Yeah.
I think the sandwich one is enough.
All right. That tells you everything you need to know about a person.
Yeah. If I can look you in the eye and you tell me your sandwich, that's the closest a man can get.
Absolutely. Have you ever had a Nutella peanut butter sandwich?
Yes, I have. I'm here for it.
Those are my childhood. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, I've started getting there's this chain of bakeries called Gales in London, and it's quite like bougie, you know, West London shit. But they do their own hazelnut spread, and it's better than Nutella. And my housemate steals it a lot, so we have a healthy supply of that here.
That's good. Great.
You can just eat spoonfuls of it, just like Nutella, I guess. But it's a different consistency. It has a slightly more nuanced flavor. It's great.
It's for the elevated taste.
Yeah.
It's for the thinking man.
I'm sounding like a prick.
No, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on today.
No worries, man. I had a lot of fun, actually.
Me too. I would love to have you back on. Maybe we can do the sandwich talk. I'll come more prepared with like some really like esoteric sandwiches.
I'm down. I'm so down for that.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, we'll be in touch and people can find you on Instagram at DanXGWE.
That's it, man.
Not Gee.
That's it.
Anywhere else that you want to direct people?
Nah, I think Instagram is the one for the minute, unfortunately. Change in the future. Website coming, you know.
Website coming soon.
But yeah, just reach me on there if you want anything.
Sounds good. All right. Nice. I'll talk to you later.
See you, dude.
See ya.